Myers, how about if we try number 217, Away in a Manger? Let's sing the first verse.
What number?
217.
Thank you. 2 19.
219, right across the page.
219 on the next page. All right. We'll do two verses of that also.
Hope, joy, peace in our hearts, that we may recognize your coming among us.
invite you to rise as you are able in body or in spirit as we join together to sing a opening carol. There's a song in the air. The words are on the screen and in your hymn books. Light the candle. coming to earth. Do you remember each candle represents an idea? Love, hope,
peace.
And what was that one? Joy. Love, hope, joy, and peace. And the middle one is the Christ candle, and we light that one on Christmas Eve when Jesus is born. Thank you for helping us light the Advent candles. Didn't they do a wonderful job?
I know.
How long do you think that moment of silence was?
A little less. 45 seconds.
How did it feel? What if that happened more often? What if there were a moment of peace in your life every day? What if there were five? How would that change your life? Change your heart. There are words of blessing that are printed in your bulletin. There are a lot of them. There are lots of words of blessing. And so you don't have to say all of them. But I do invite you to turn to the person who's seated next to you. Maybe the person who's sitting behind you, or maybe even you just simply stay by yourself and share these words your own heart. But I invite you and I encourage you to bless the people who are seated around you. Maybe you can use these words or make up words of your own. But I invite you, I encourage you to bless those around you, to pass the peace of Christ. Will you do that? Some of you will. maybe all of you will.
Thank you.
Testament book of Micah. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. And the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock on the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. And from the book of Luke. In those days Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Most High, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, who has looked with favor on the lowly list of God's servants. Surely from now on all generations shall call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is God's name. God's mercy is for those who revere God from generation to generation. God has shown strength with God's arm, and has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God has helped God's servant Israel in remembrance of God's mercy, according to the promise God made to our ancestors, to Abraham and Sarah and their descendants forever."
Plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks.
and the nations will not raise sword against another, and never will they learn war anymore. You know those words? Maybe you've sung those words. There's a song like that. There's a lot of songs that seem reminiscent of Scripture. And it feels like a deepening of the Scripture passage today to read those words about the weapons of war being broken and transformed into gardening tools. But I think that maybe the main choices, the lectionary elves, about this one and not that one, because we wanted to maybe not be so political. And I get that, at Christmas time especially. Yet I kind of am baffled by that, because if we don't want to get political, we probably shouldn't use the Bible as our foundation. And we get political. Mary gets political all the time when we let her talk. It's a good thing we only give her a paragraph here and there. When you start pondering things in your heart, oh boy, who knows where you're going to end up. And I'm feeling the deepening happen, the pulling of the Spirit to go a little deeper with this peace business. At the risk of being a little political. And yet, I can't help but think, you know, like all of our holidays, all of our Christian holidays, they are resistance days. I mean, that's what we're celebrating. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. The overturning, the new life of love, hope, and joy, and peace. At Easter, we celebrate the fierce resistance of life in the face of death. Like, you dig a little bit deep anywhere in any of our holidays, and you got just a little gentle, gentle raised fist. So I'm wearing my resistance shirt, my peace shirt today. It says, power to the peaceful. And there is a little gentle, gentle raised fist with a little flower in it. And it might be this shirt, the most Advent of all of my clothing ensembles. I don't know if you've noticed, I love to dress liturgically. And this, I have the whole season of Advent, you didn't notice. But this is perhaps my most liturgical outfit of the season. Because this is what Advent represents to us. Advent is the resistance made manifest, personified in us. We've been talking about this through the whole season of Advent. While the whole world, most of the world, is shoveling shelves full of stuff into their carts at Target, eating and drinking and making merry, oh, who am I to kid you? I have been picking out all week. Christmas family party, here I come. I mean, it is the season of resistance and also of delicious wreaths. You know, little cornflakes ones with the little red hots in them. Those little butter balls caramelized. I'm going off script here because I love to talk about the Christmas treats. But we are also here. We are gathered in this Advent, a holy huddle, teaching our children to light candles against the encroaching dark. We have been out of step with the rest of the world for at least a month now. We have been gathering together, pondering love, hope, and joy in the midst of a world that feels loveless and joyless and hopeless sometimes. And today is Peace Day. And now we get to the heart of the matter. Today we get to the heart of the heart. Today we get to the flesh, our flesh. Peace is incarnate. in the flesh. It can't be any other place. You can't peace at someone. You can't peace for someone. Or shove peace in someone. Of all of the Advent dreams, I love peace the most. I resonate most strongly with peace. Maybe because I lack it so much. But I have identified myself with peace. I've even put it on my Facebook page that that's who I am. I wear this shirt a lot. A former parishioner of mine asked me, "What is your ministry? Why are you here? What is it you set out to do?" And I replied, "I am a peace builder. I'm here to make peace on earth." I said it, and it totally surprised the heck out of me. It surprised both of us. But it felt true. It is what I'm about. It is why I am here. Perhaps it's the reason why I am here. To hold all of our work against that great dream. Not a bad ballast, is it? World peace? What if we weighed all of our actions with it? What would we do if we asked the question, does this build peace in our world? So, I fancy myself a peace builder. And how do I do that? I have no idea. It wouldn't be such a bad problem if only the stakes weren't so high. That's the problem. But it really doesn't seem to be a problem in the grand scheme of things because I'm not the only one. It seems as if we do not know how to build peace on earth. We laugh about it, no? Like, only beauty pageant contestants thinks it's possible to build world peace. So we continue doing what we're doing. Seemingly, we continue to do what we know how to do. You know, destroy, divide, make war. As little as I know about building peace on earth, I have a sneaking suspicion that the peace out there in the world is linked somehow, mysteriously, mystically, to peace in here. Which is really not the news that I wanted to hear. Because it is a heck of a lot harder to maintain equanimity and kindness in here than it is to yell at other people. I love yelling at other people. It's like the top 10 of favorite things to do. Moan. When I say attain a highest level of spiritual and consciousness, you say, "How high, sir?" I love yelling at people. I love piecing at people. I love telling them what to do. There may be something to this link between the peace out there and the peace in my heart. Because if there is a link, then it makes me confront the violence in my own heart. Makes me aware of the harshness with which I speak to myself. The hurts in my heart that persist like little burrs in my shoes, which make me so, so angry because it hurts. And I realize that I can't inflict myself on anyone until I deal with some of the crap in here. My inner world can feel really violent sometimes. And I just get used to it. And it's just the way it is. Until it isn't. Until I slow down and breathe.
exhale, love, hope, joy, and peace. And then the resistance begins. The advent of Christ. Little matches struck, little candles, like little raised fists, clutching our Advent candles. People like you. Oh God, I hope people like me. And we who have the passion and the courage of warriors are not warriors anymore. We're Christians. Because we will not fight anymore forever. For we have no enemies. There is no other side. There is no other. Because we are all one. And that border that we keep reinforcing, that wall that we keep trying to build, it no longer exists. For we have one faith, one baptism, one Lord, who is above all, through all, and all in all. Jesus is the one of peace, not because he's given it to us, not because he is a statue somewhere, a peaceful figure standing with birds perched on him, over which we can point and nod our heads and say, ah, yes, isn't he so peaceful? Jesus gives us peace, not like the world gives, but like, not like so many magazines in the checkout line saying, inner peace now. But you know Oprah is right, right? She's amazing. Everything she says is right. Yes, you should eat your vegetables. Why not mash up some cauliflower in your mashed potatoes? There's nothing wrong with reading magazines in the checkout line. But Christ comes. It could be today, it could be tomorrow or next month. Christ comes, like so many hunks of bread that we have eaten and we continue to eat year after year, month after month after month. And when we have eaten Christ, Christ will live in us. The peace of Christ is living in us. And when we make room, the Christ takes root in our souls and our tummies are filled. The bread of life nourishes. The light strikes a match and we raise our tiny little fists in peace. And the rich are sent hungry away. And peace will come. Because we will fight no more forever. May it be so.
Thank you.
I invite you to continue in a spirit of Advent. I invite you to continue in the resistance. Economic resistance, economic revolution. For those who have much, give it away. And those who have need, receive and are empowered. It could be that our offering could simply be a letting go of money. And it could be that our offering could be a part of the coming of Christ. Whatever it is for you today, I invite you to give and receive. And receive and give. Spirit of prayer. If there are words of encouragement or prayer, prayers or notes that you would like to share, announcements that you would like to lift aloud, this is a good time to do that, and we'll help one another. Bob, I'm coming.
I'd like to announce Linda and myself that Trisha are just at our 49th wedding anniversary.
There's been lots of discussion about what we will do with the space that's being vacated by the University of Nursery School. A task force has looked at the possibility of how we might use that space and has come up with a recommendation that we examine the potential for starting our own nursery school. We've had several council meetings, including one last week that was well attended by 25 folks, and a decision was made that we need to have a meeting on the 6th of January, Sunday, right after church, to give all of you an opportunity to ask questions and help us discern and ascertain whether that is the best decision and how we might go forward. It is not a question of should we or should we not. It's to gather and have a conversation about the benefits and maybe the issues that might concern us about moving forward with starting our own nursery school here at Hope. So I invite you to attend on the 6th. Participate. There are materials in the office, a case statement, there's financial forecasts, etc. And so let's gather and have a robust discussion and discern the right direction for our church. Thank you.
And there's a council meeting right after this moment of worship. We will be talking about the budget for 2019. There's a there's a budget draft, and there's some, and we welcome people to come and attend. I think people can come and attend, right, if they want to. Yep. And our wonderful finance team, holy moly, our leadership team. I am in awe of the people who are in leadership in this community of faith. They're true leaders, Christian leaders, with hearts for love, hope, joy, and peace, and they do their job so well. Pete and Jeff, I mean, you have been working so hard to make our church a budget, and also to carry it out and to sign checks and count. There are counters and there are people who are leaders in our church council, all of our committees. It's a humbling experience to have so many faithful, committed leaders in our church. Thank you.
Yes. As you know, I'm beginning to hold a grief group on January 7th, which is Monday. I kind of screwed up the times, so your bulletin says 5:30, and it's 5:37. I was hoping to make room for people who work. I've also put it out at 5 o'clock, so I can't change all that's happened. So I will be here at 5 o'clock. Besides sharing your own grief, and it can be any kind of grief, besides the loss of a person, it can be your health, job, change of circumstances, it doesn't matter. And I will also be, not only will we be able to share, but I can help people understand what factors might delay a good grief or grief work, and there's lots of areas that we can cover. So I hope that you can come and get people come. It's, tears are like rain. They loosen the soil so flowers can grow again. So don't be afraid of your tears either.
Envelopes for next year's giving are on the north table in the narthex. Pick up yours if we have not already gotten it to you. But don't start using them until the new year is here. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think we need to keep the people of Indonesia in our prayers. This morning it was announced there was yet another tsunami that wiped out a village right near the ocean. And this is the second one in about 4 to 6 months. So, I mean, these poor people are poor to begin with, and they're even poorer now. So please keep them in your prayers.
Invite us to continue in our spirit of prayer, continue of Advent, love, hope, and joy, and peace. We join to sing our carol, "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear." And I invite you to rise as you are able, in body or in spirit.
Needs to feel afraid. A world that's Yes.